Thank you, young ladies. You did a lot better than I tried doing. We tried that song, my wife and I, on Thanksgiving. I think I sang about 8 times before I made it through the whole song. Man, that's just song. It's got the words are just amazing to it. But I've really enjoyed Pastor Hanks this last few days. I hope you all have as well. Just been a joy and a blessing, and I'm looking forward to this morning's message. Listen up. I know it was a long night last night. I understand that. But please don't fall asleep on us. The last service here, he's got something special for you. And so, Brother Hanks, come on up and preach at us.
Thanks a lot, Brother Bragg. I appreciate it. All right. Well, you all are tired. I can see that already. Well, that was good. I'm already blessed. And I just haven't even got the chance to preach yet. The skit was excellent. Monologue. I appreciate you doing that. Thank you so much for doing that. You know, that is so true. We're not going to know until we get to heaven how true that skit really is. Monologues really is, or as people that we know and that we don't say anything to. And then that song, boy, we have been blessed, that's for sure. And as Brother Angel said, I've been where you've been. I tell you, we have it so good in the Christian life, and we take so much for granted. And again, I hope that you'll hope this week reminds you how much you have. All right. How many's tired this morning? Raise your hand. All right. You look it. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. We're going to do our best to run as fast as we can, and then you all get to do awards. Isn't that a blessing? Now, they don't know yet who won what, right? Good. How many things you won? Those are the ones that didn't win. Hopefully, amen. Well, anyway, I hope it goes well. Well, young people, I tell you, I've really enjoyed. I haven't really got to know you this week, and I know it only lasts Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I wish I could. You know, I guess when you have a little longer time, you can interact a little bit more. And so, anyway, the Lord knows what we can and cannot do. It's not looking very hopeful for me to be able to stay as soon as service is over. And I want to, just because I wanted to see who won. The month of March is about the only month I travel, and it has been all month. And so I haven't seen my kids much, and I haven't seen the church family. I think they're about to get another pastor. And I get home today, or the Lord's family, I get home today, and probably about 9 hours. And then I leave right after the morning service Sunday morning. Then I do my last week, and then I'm home again. So, but anyway, it's been a long time. Otherwise, I'd stay for sure. And mainly because I just want to get a chance to know you, and I haven't had a chance to do that this week. But I really appreciate what they're doing here to allow you to come and be together. And young people, this is not the norm. I know that in your Christian circle, you think that everybody's doing this. Everybody's not doing this. And you're going the right direction, and I hope that you'll keep it up. And God's got a special purpose for your life, and He wants to do something with each of you. There's no doubt about it. All right, I guess I should get preaching. Let me, you want some humor this morning? Some of you look like you need some humor this morning. If you'd looked in the mirror, you'd have got the humor you needed this morning, amen? A first grade teacher was collecting old, well-known proverbs, and she gave each kid in her class the first half of the proverb, and then they had to come up with the rest. So this is a first grade class. The teacher comes up, she gives the first half of the proverb, the first graders had to come up with the rest of the proverb. First one, the teacher said, you can lead a horse to water, and they had to finish it. They answered, but how? I'm not sure about that one. Let's see here. She said, as you shall make your bed, so shall you. And they responded, mess it up. She said, better be safe than, the response from the first grader was, than to punch a fifth grader. She said, strike while the, and they finished it by saying, when the bug is close. It is always darkest before, and they said, before daylight savings time. Goodness gracious, some of these are crazy. She said, don't bite the hand that, and they said, that looks dirty. Oh, boy. She said, if you lie down with the dogs, you'll, they responded, you'll stink in the morning. She said, an idle mind is, they said, the best way to relax. First grader said, she said, a penny saved is, and they said, is not much. She said, none are so blind as, and they responded, as Helen Keller. She said, children should not be seen and not, they responded, not spanked or grounded. Oh, boy. There's more. I'll just do one more of it. When the blind leadeth the blind, they said, get out of the way. Oh, first graders are honest, aren't they? Sometimes teenagers are. All right, grab your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 20. Let's quickly read this passage together, and we'll give this thought this morning. Matthew chapter number 20. Go ahead and stand with me. We'll read verse 1. You know, go ahead and stand. Hey, young people, you talk about doing things out of routine. Every service, when he got up to lead the songs, half of you stood up before he ever said, stand to your feet. And is that not the epitome of a Christian school kid? You've been raised in the right atmosphere all your life. You know all the cues. You know, stand up, sit down, stand up, sit down. You know, invitation, close your eyes. You know, walk forward to the altar and pray. Anyway, I tell you, I wouldn't trade a Christian school education. I wouldn't trade growing up a Christian home for anything in the world. And young people, I'll tell you something. Things are not always going to be what you want them to be, but they're what God wants them to be. And it's God's grace upon your life to allow you to be able to enjoy this. Amen. All right, Matthew 20, this parable we're going to discuss and give you a quick thought. Now, young people, I really only have one thought tonight, this morning, that I really want to get across. I'm going to give several things at the beginning, but I only have one point. How's that? All right, we're just going to run this one point for just a few minutes. Some of you are praising the Lord already. All right. Matthew 20, look at verse number 1 now. It says, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good men of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first and the first last. For many be called, the few chosen. All right. Young people, listen, I know you're tired this morning, okay? I've never in my life called an adult down for sleeping, but I do call teenagers down for sleeping, okay? And I know you're tuckered out. And I won't call you down. I'll just come slap you, but I won't call you down, all right? And my father, he was a little more truth than mercy, my dad was. And, you know, he didn't have a problem. I mean, he'd be on the pulpit, someone would be sleeping, he'd grab a hymn book and he'd throw the hymn book at them. I mean, I've seen him do that. And my grandfather, he's not alive now, my grandfather was sitting in a church service with my father preaching, and my grandfather fell asleep. And from the pulpit, my father said to his father, Dad, you sleeping over there? He's sitting on the left-hand side over here. My grandfather woke up, and without missing a beat, he said, no, son, I'm praying. My father, without missing a beat, said, pray with your eyes open. Just the way it is. But anyway, I know that you can't get it if you're sleeping, all right? So I want you to do the best you can. I don't want you to just try to work at staying awake. I want the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart this morning. So, well, again, I promise I'll hurry, but I want you to try to stay with me this morning. Now, I say that because I know what happens, because I was where you were. As soon as we go to praying, you go to sleeping, all right? So concentrate this morning. Ask the Lord to meet with us this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this week. Lord, thank you for letting me come. Lord, I thank you again for this church. Thanks for what they've done by the organization, work, and effort. Now, Father, would you please bless this message? Would you please give us the words to say? May the Holy Spirit speak to each and every one of us this morning. Father, Lord, help the young people to get this one thought. And Lord, may they never forget it. Father, thank you again for allowing us to be a Christian. And then that I'll be allowed to be born in a Christian home and go to a Christian school. And Lord, have all the things that they just sang about. how blessed we really are. Father, now please use this last hour before the young people get their awards and go home. Lord, I ask you to bless them as an individual, bless them as a youth group, bless them as a church. Lord, help them make a difference in their own community. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Now, young people, I have to lay the foundation of this, and then I'm going to teach one thought this morning. But here's what I want you to see. This particular parable was written because of what was said in the previous chapter by Peter. I want you to look at your Bible again. Look at chapter 19. Look at verse 27. It says, Then answered Peter, verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. Verse 30, But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Now think about that last phrase, verse 30. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Now look at chapter number 20. Look at the last phrase in verse 8. Last phrase, verse 8 says, Beginning from the last unto the first. Look at verse number 16. So the last shall be first, and the first last. Now, you have to understand that Jesus is giving this parable in response to Peter's question. Peter's question was, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Now, young people, I hate to tell you this, that most of Christianity is looking about what they're going to get out of Christianity, not what they can give to Christianity. Are you listening? Hey, listen, it's a shame that because we've been raised with a silver spoon in our mouth and we've been given a Christian education, we've been given good parents, that we have our hand out on what more are we going to be given. And that's a natural tendency, but you know what your tendency ought to be? Our tendency ought to be, God, what can I do for you, not what can you do for me? But Peter said, hey, we have given up all, what are we going to get out of this? So Jesus responds by saying, Nobody has sacrificed houses and riches and wives and sons and daughters and all these things that shall not be given something in the regeneration or the resurrection. And then he makes that statement at the end, The last shall be first and the first shall be last. And he goes right into this parable. Now, this parable is a very unique parable, all right? And for time's sake, I think I'll just go right here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You five fellows, put your Bibles down, take your coat off and stand right here if you don't mind, all right? Quick, we got to hurry. Everyone's just going to go to sleep if we don't hurry, amen? All right, go ahead. Stand right there. Face the audience. Let them look at you for a minute. All right, that was enough. Would you sit back down? I'm just joking. All right. Now, these five guys are going to represent the five servants that the master householder went out to be. Guys, I can't see them. Could you back up two steps if you don't mind? Could you go a little slower next time? All right. But one more step. All right. I got to be able to see that lady on the corner over there. She's reading her Bible. Amen. God bless you. Now, watch for a second here. The householder is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is looking for people who will go out into the vineyards. Now, I'm going to give you a quick introduction, and I'm going to hit my one thought, and we're going, you're going to stay here, do your rewards, then we're going home, amen? Now, Jesus Christ is looking for laborers. Now, think about this for a second here. Jesus Christ, the picture of the householder, he comes to this first particular fella, and he says, Hey, listen, you want to work for me today? And you say?
Sure.
I guess that's close to a yes, right? All right? The answer, fellas, is yes. You got that? All right, got the right answer? All right. Would you like to work for me today?
Yes.
You're never excited about anything, are you, in life? Right. Christian school kid, amen. All right, now. So he says, yes, I'd like to work for you today. Now, this first particular one, he makes an agreement with. He says, now listen, what do you want to work for today? It's what we just read a moment ago. How much would you like to have? That's not a bad answer. I'd want all of it too. Hey, what's your name?
Gilbert.
My name's Scott. It's a pleasure to meet you, Gilbert. I'm not gonna make fun of you, okay? Gilbert, how old are you?
14.
Good. God bless you. Do you take things well? Is it okay to tease with you? You okay? Okay. Just making sure. Okay. The right answer is a penny. You got it. He says, "I ain't working for a penny." What you have to understand is that a penny was a day's wage. It's not like we think a penny. Man, I'm not working for a penny. But a penny was a day's wage back then. So if you made $10 an hour, you worked an 8-hour day today, that'd be $80 a day. It would be like saying, I'll pay you $80 a day. Whatever a day's wage is in your mind, that's what that penny represented when these laborers in this story was. So Jesus comes to him, and he says, hey, listen, I need you to work for today. What would you like to be paid today?
Penny.
All right, good. And you know what? I can do that. Yeah. The householder says, hey, I can do that. If you want to work for a penny, that's what you said. I'll make sure I pay you a penny. So he goes out. It's 6 o'clock in the morning, and he goes out and he works. So just go over that in the area right there, and he goes and works 6 o'clock in the morning. Now, the Bible says in the third hour of the day. Now, the day started at 6 o'clock. Now we're at 9 o'clock. He comes back to 9 o'clock. He finds this guy idle in the marketplace. He's not doing anything except picking his nose. All right, come over here. And he says, hey, listen, how come you're not working? And he says, I'll help him out. No man has hired us. And I say, hey, listen, do you want to work for me today?
Yes.
Do you trust me to give you whatever's right in my mind if you work for me today?
Sort of.
young people, remember I said I was going to slap you if you fell asleep? I'm about to slap him regardless. Okay, let me back up for a second here. Let me review a little bit. You know, when you deal with retarded people, you have to go over things again and again, right? The answer is yes. You guys got it? That's his problem, a preacher's kid, amen? All right, would you like to work for me today?
Yes.
All right, now listen, do you agree that whatever I feel is right that you'll take?
Yes.
Good. All right, go get to work. All right? Yes. All right, now that's at 9 o'clock, third hour of the day. The Bible says that he came out at the 6th hour and the 9th hour. That means it was 12 noon and it was 3 o'clock. He comes out and finds two more fellas, and they're idle in the marketplace. They're not doing anything. Householder comes out, and he says, hey, listen, fellas, I need people to work in my vineyard. How come you're standing here? And he says, no man has hired us. I said, listen, would you like to work in my vineyard?
Yes.
Yes. Do you trust me to give you whatever I feel is right at the end of the day? Yes. That-a-way. Now, all the work's going on, and he comes out at the 11th hour of the day. What time is it? It's 5 o'clock. This guy's sitting around doing nothing. He's sitting there watching his television program and just, you know, Oprah Winfrey or something there. And he comes out, and he's idle in the marketplace. The householder says, hey, listen, I need some people to work in my vineyard. Are you willing to work in my vineyard?
Yes.
Are you willing to work for whatever I give you?
Yes.
All right, go ahead and go out there and work. Now, you kind of got the idea of what's going on in the story here. And the Bible says that the day ended. Now, here's what happened at the end day. The Bible said that he started from the last unto the first. So that means he's going to start with the 5 o'clock guy. And then he's going to go to the 3 o'clock guy. And then he's going to go to the noon guy. And then he's going to go to the 9 o'clock guy. And then he's going to start with the guy at 6 o'clock in the morning. Then the Bible says that they came at the end of the day to reckon up. All right, so the first guy, the last guy, comes. And time to reckon up. Now, he made no agreement, but the householder, the Bible says, gave him a penny, a day's wage, and how long did he work? 1 hour. There's your penny. Stand over there. Next guy comes along. He started at 3 o'clock. How long did he work? 3 hours. He gave him a day's wage, gave him a penny. The next guy came along. He started at noon. How long did he work? 6 hours. Are you all with me? He gave him how much? Gave him a penny, a day's wage. Next guy comes along. He started at 9 o'clock in the morning. How long did he work? All right? He gave him a day's wage, gave him a penny. Better make sure I got one more here. Did I give one of you guys two? Nope, I got it. Hold on. Always carry a comb. I always carry my key. I know I got a penny in there. I got a penny, don't worry. Found it. All right. Last guy comes along. 12 o'clock. I'm sorry, 6 o'clock. How many hours did he work? All right, gave him a penny. Now, this guy wasn't very happy, was he? The Bible says that he murmured against the good men of the house. All right, now let's keep that thought. I'm going to give you a couple things. Now, you fellas, stand right back up there and stand up in the order that you went out. That's right. I'm sorry. So this guy needs to go first. You're the first guy that went out, right? Gilbert. You're messing my illustration up. Gilbert, you're first. What church are you from? Brother McIntyre? God bless you. Now, Young people, I have to hurry because I promise I only have one thought, but I want to just hit just a couple things in general about this particular parable. First thing about the parable is this, is that labors are needed. And remember now, and by the way, this can get really detailed when you think about the different hours, you think about the apostles, you think about the Reformation, and you can go down all the way down the line. I believe we're living in the 11th hour. I believe that we're 1 hour. I believe that Jesus Christ can come back at any moment. I believe that in my lifetime, I believe in your lifetime. And I believe that time is so short that we've got to get busy for God. So I think that labors are needed, and labors have always been needed. I want to tell you something. This thing is, you know, I don't want to serve because it's so much work. That's what the Christian life is. The Christian life is work. Let's face the facts. You're going to go to school all day. You're going to go to church on Sunday, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night. You're going to church on Wednesday night. Your Thursday night soul winning might be on Thursday. You're going to have Saturday bus calling. You're going to have all the extracurricular things such as ministry, prisons and nursing homes and jails and a host of Sunday school classes and bus ministries. I want you to say, the Christian life is work. And I'm going to say, labors are needed. And can I tell you something? A lot of labors are needed. You might say to yourself, Pastor Hanks, I'm not very talented in a lot of different areas, or I don't have the gift of gab. I mean, I'm just not an outgoing person. I'm an introvert. I want to tell you something. God wants to use every person that's in here. It's not a matter of I'm too tall, I'm too short, I'm too fat, I'm too thin. I'm not very intelligent, or I am very intelligent. It's a matter that laborers are needed. Every person is needed. Another thing about this story that's very, very interesting is that the time is short. The labor's amount of time to serve God is just a short amount of time. We talked about this in another service. Young people, you might be 13, 14, and 15, but I want to tell you something. You will bat an eye and you will be 30 and 40 and 50. We tease about a person who turns a quarter of a century. When they get to 25, we think that's really old. Now, 25 is not very old once you pass 25. And then we say a person, boy, they turned 50. They're a half a decade. You know, some of your parents are 50 years old. And you think, man alive, how did they live so long? They obeyed their parents. That's what happened. And I want to tell you, these people that live 70, 80, and 90 years, you think to yourself, my, oh, my. But folks, I want to tell you something. It's just a short amount of time. You know, it's interesting. You look at an older person, you say, man, will I ever look like that? I mean, their face is wrinkled. They're wearing glasses. Their hair's thinning. They're bulging. And they're walking. Ever dawn on you, they were like you at one time? That's the natural process, by the way. But our time is short. Labors are needed. The labor's time is short. And there's a host of other illustrations and thoughts that are interesting about the story. But I want to get this one thought. You know, people, what's very interesting to me about this story is this, is that the only person who made an agreement for what he was going to be paid was the first man. Now, you can look at it. I mean, it's pretty plain in Scripture there. I want you to go ahead and look at it. Let me just point it out real quickly here. Look at your Bible again in Matthew chapter 20. Look at verse number 4. Now, look at verse number 2. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day. That's the first guy. Look at verse number 4. And said unto them, let me back up, verse number 3. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again, he went about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? And they say unto him, because no man hath hired us. Look at this now, verse 7. He saith unto them, go ye into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. Now, young people, watch now. We all understand that when even was come, they came back and they were all rewarded or given what God wanted, or what the master of the household gave. And by at the end of our day, either by death or by the rapture, we're going to be rewarded by God also by how we live our life now. Now, young people, if we live 70 years, that is such a short amount of time when you think about eternity. I believe that when what we do during these, and I'm going to use just the term 70 years, okay, we might live less, might live more. What we do during these 70 years will determine not only what we receive at the judgment seat of Christ when the rewards are passed out, but I believe, because the book of Revelation says that we will live and reign with Christ during the millennium, I believe what we do during these 70 years is also going to dictate how we'll reign during the millennium. I also believe that beyond the millennium, the Bible says that we're going to serve Christ. I think Revelation 21, 22 there. But we're going to serve Christ. I also believe that the eternity future, watch me now, will also be dictated by how we live our life right now. Now, young people, put 2 plus 2 equals 4. Put it together. If all I have to do, watch me now, if all I have to do is live for Christ during these 70 years or less or more, if that's all I have to do, this speck of time, and it's going to determine what I'm going to do for God for eternity. I want to tell you something. This is an easy trade for me. This is an easy trade for me. Young people, why would you want to waste your life for Christ now, depending on what God's going to do with you forever? You ought to live your life every day and hour for Him. And can I tell you what the job is? Go ye into my vineyard. Can I tell you what the job is? Go ye into my vineyard. Can I tell you what the job is? Go ye into my vineyard. Can I tell you what the job is? Go ye into my vineyard. Can I tell you what the job is? Go into my vineyard. Hey, young people, do you know what? You know what the main job God wants you to do? He wants you to go tell people how they can go to heaven. The monologue you just saw, that's the job that God wants for every Christian, and that's to get the gospel to the world. That's what God, back up, folks. That's what God wants you to do. Hey, listen, maybe God wants some of you to be missionaries. Are you surrendered to do whatever the master of the household wants you to do with his life? Can I tell you that he's got one job? Go, 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 go. Anyway, that's what he wants. People, you don't have to be outgoing to give the gospel. Tell a person how you got saved. I've used my personal testimony so much, I really believe that the people from our church, when they go out door knocking, they use my testimony. I was 11 years old. I was sitting in a church service on a Sunday morning. The pastor was preaching on hell. I was sitting on the fourth row back on the right-hand side. I knew I was a sinner bound for hell. I came forward during the invitation time, sat on the front row on the left-hand side. The person with the Bible showed me how to be saved. I prayed and accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I've used that illustration. Every soul winning class, I've used my testimony. When I've gone out soul winning with somebody with me, I use my personal testimony. I was 11 years old. I was sitting on the fourth row back. A pastor was preaching on hell. I knew I was lost. I came forward, sat on the left-hand side. Someone opened the Bible, showed me that I was a sinner, needed a Savior, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Now, I think that our people go to the door. I was 11 years old. I sat on the fourth row back. I want to tell you something. Your testimony is unique to you. You ought to use your testimony. But can I tell you what God wants you to do? He wants you to be a witness for Him. Now, young people, here's my thought, and I'm done. I'm going to go from the last to the first. Ready? The 5 o'clock guy. He comes. He gets his penny. Where's my penny? Thank you. Day's wage. The householder reckons with him. Is he happy or mad? Happy. Thank you. 3 o'clock guy. My penny. Son, I'm going to knock you. No. I'm just joking. I'm really not mad at him. I'm about to slap him, but I'm not mad at him. He gets his penny. Is he happy or mad? Happy. He gets his penny. 5, 3, 12 o'clock. Happy or mad? Clock guy. Gets his day's wage. Worked 9 hours. Happy? Mad? They don't look very happy. Gilbert! Gets his penny. You know, you see it in your Bible there? Let me read it so you don't miss it, okay? Grab your Bible. Look at your Bible, Matthew 20. Gilbert, stand right there. Look at verse number 10. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured. That word murmur means grumble. Against the good men of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heated the day. And he answered them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? The young people, here's what it is, and I'm done. Here's what I want to deal with right here. Fellas, slide out so I can see them over there if you don't mind. Thank you very much. Hey, young people, I know you're tired. Don't miss this. Happy, 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 happy. Grumble. Can I tell you why? The reason he grumbled is because he agreed for that penny. They said to the master, whatever you give us is fine. I don't miss this morning. God always gives the best to those who leave the choice with Him. God always gives the best to those who leave the choice with Him. Hey, listen, I know you're only working 9 hours, but because you let me choose, I'm going to give you a day's wage. I know you only work 6 hours, but because you let me choose, I'm giving you a day's wage. I know you let me choose, but because you let me choose and you only worked, what, 3 hours, I'm going to give you a day. I know you only worked 1 hour, but I'm going to give you a day's wage. You know why? Because you let me choose. Young people, I want to tell you something. You're making a sad mistake in your life when you try to make all the choice. You don't let God make the choice. Because I want to tell you something. God always gives the best to those who leave the choice with Him. Always. You're going to miss out on life because you want to do the choosing. Well, I want this or I want that. Do you understand that if you'll let God do the choosings in your life, you can never be unhappy? Because you know what? He knows what's best for you. The only one that was unhappy was the one that said, hey, listen, I want to have a part in what I am going to get in this thing. Can I tell you that your choices are coming up really, really fast? You know what your choices are? Choices of marriage, choices of college, choices of jobs. There's a lot of choices that you're making within your own home right now. And I want to tell you something. If you would allow God to make the choices, you will never be unhappy. Amen. My brother and I used to be at home. He's about a year and a half older than I am. Mom and Dad would be gone. And whenever Mom and Dad was gone, we were able to raid the refrigerator. And invariably, this happened more than one time. There was a piece of pie, and there's only one piece left. And we could have whatever one out of the refrigerator. And so it was time to eat the pie. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. I didn't like it when David cut the pie and picked what piece he wanted. It was kind of irritating because he always picked the biggest piece. And I said, listen, to make this thing fair, whoever cuts, the other one chooses. I want to tell you something. If you've ever seen somebody so careful in your life to make sure it was exact, it was when you got two brothers cutting one piece of pie and the other one's choosing. But you know what? When he cut the pie, I guaranteed it was fair. And it made it so much easier when I let him choose. You want to cut or you want me to pick? Whatever you want. You know what? Because you know what? It was going to be fair. It was going to be exact. You know, when you give God the choice in your life, it will always be exact. Exactly what you need. Exactly what He wants for your life. You know, people, it's like the other day. I don't know who's sitting on this front row. But God's not going to come whisper in your ear what He necessarily wants. Who was it? Come here. I want to talk to you. Sit back down here for just a moment. Pastor's kid, huh? What's your last name?
Brown.
Is your pastor here? Your dad here? I wouldn't come with you either. All right? I'm just joking. You're not going to have that, are you? What's your first name again? Tim. You don't mind if I yell in your ear, do you? Tim, did you comb your hair today?
Tim, comb your hair.
Now, you're going to hear that, are you? You know what I'm trying to say is this is God's going to use authorities in your life to show you what you need to do. And here's what you're doing. You're saying to the authority in your life, you do not want to listen to the authority, but what you're doing is you're saying you do not want God to choose. Now, listen, I'm afraid you're going to miss this morning because I know you're tired. You're doing well. Perk up now. Don't miss it. I'm almost done. Do you understand that God has a particular plan for every one of your lives? And the way He's going to show you what His plan is for your life is through delegated authority. God is the supreme authority. Every authority under God is a delegated authority. In other words, when Brother Angel was not here, he put a delegated authority in place called Brother Bragg. Brother Bragg's the one running the service this morning, right? Now, is Brother Bragg the pastor of the church? Talk to me. Is Brother Bragg the pastor of the church? No, but he's a delegated authority while Brother Angel is not here to be able to run the pilots' convention and to run things. Hey, can I tell you something? Your God in heaven has given you several delegated authorities in your life in order to tell you what he... Just hear me. When Brother Bragg, young people, when Brother Bragg got up here and he's running the order of the service, he's not doing his own thing. Brother Bragg is doing what Brother Angel wants for this church. Can I tell you something? God's given you delegated authorities in your life and they're not doing their own thing. They're doing what God wants for your life. Your mom and dad's telling you, do this and go here and be this. Your pastor's preaching from the pulpit. Hey, listen, young people, sit up during the church service. I don't want you sitting on the back row. I don't want you sitting with the... I don't want you doing the dating thing. I don't want you doing this, this, and this. And you say to yourself, well, I don't like that. Hey, do you understand what your problem is? It's not against the preacher and the parent. It's against what God's choice is for your life. And here's what you're doing. You're trying to make an agreement with God on what you want. Hey, it's not going to happen that way. You will never, are you listening? You will never be happy as long as you're the one making the choice.
That's right.
When Abraham and Lot split, the Bible says, and Lot chose the well-watered plains of Jordan. You know what happened to Lot? Lost his family in Sodom, lost his wife coming out of Sodom, turns into a pillar of salt. He gets away with his two daughters. His two daughters commit incest with him. He's living in a mountain cave. Abraham is still over here. He's still got his flocks, his herds, his servants. He's got his wife. He's got his children. Abraham's the happy one. You know why? Because he left the choices to God. He didn't say, hey, I like this well-watered plain. This will help my cattle. But he said there's a host of people in Scripture that made the choices themselves, and they were not happy. You know why? Because they tried to make an agreement with God. You know what your agreement with God ought to be? I surrender all. God, whatever you want for my life, that's what I want. Hey, how do I make this thing known? I'll tell you how you find out what God's choices is for your life. What does your parents want for you? What does your pastor want for you? What does your teachers want for you? Oh, I don't want to do what they want me to do. You know what you're trying to do? You're trying to be like Gilbert. Oh, tell you what, what's it worth to me? It's worth a penny a day. It's worth a day's wage. If you'll give me a penny, I'll work for you. Is that what you're going to do with God? God, I'll work for you if. Is that all God is to you? A person you can get a handout from? God always gives the best to those who leave the choice with Him. In person, I want to tell you something. You might think you're not pastor material. You don't have to be pastor material to be used of God. You might say, I'm not missionary material, or I'm not full-time Christian service material. You don't have to be Christian service material. You just have to say, God, whatever you feel is right, that's what I want. You know, people, when I went off to college, I didn't know what I was going to do. And you know what? I didn't surrender to be a pastor. I just surrendered in full-time Christian service. My first year of Bible college, the Lord spoke to my heart in an April meeting. I said, God, I'm willing to do whatever you want. When I worked for my father, when I went back and worked for my father, as a married couple, I made $50 a week. I had no car of my own. I used somebody else's car. When I moved into our first home, my wife and I were just married, we had no appliances, we had no furniture. My wife cooked every meal in one of those little toaster ovens that we were given as a wedding present. We would eat those pot pies in that little toaster oven. We had no stove. We had no furniture. We thought it was the greatest thing in the world when the guy down the street gave us his recliner. It was one of those vinyl green recliners. And the reason he gave us, he got another one. It was really, really old. It was one of those things that leaned back. But the problem was that the guy smoked cigars. My wife and I, it's the only piece of furniture we had. We would sit in that recliner together. It's the only chair in our living room. And smell like we were smoking cigars. But you know what? I was happy. You know why I was happy? Because I came to the place in my life that I was not going to make an agreement with God. I said, God, whatever you want in my life, that's what I want. The young person will tell you something. You're going to make a sad mistake. You're going to make a sad mistake when you do what you want or try to make a negotiation with God. Well, God, I'll come to church. I'll wear the clothing you want me to wear. I'll carry my King James Bible, but I'm going to do this. And you know what? They tell you this. He just might let you.
Right. Right.
Happy or mad? Happy or mad? Happier men. Happier men. Happier men. God always gives the best to those who leave the choice to Him. I'm telling you what you young people need to do. You need to say, I surrender all. You say, okay, God, whatever you want in my life, that's what I want. Hey, by the way, hey, watch me now. Hey, watch me. This is not just a matter of, God, I'll do whatever you want. You know what this means? This means that every delegated authority you placed in my life, that you have a purpose for my life, you will use them to tell me what your choice is for my life. And I surrender all says that whatever the delegated authority says, that's what I'm going to do because that's what God wants me to do. It's not just, yeah, I'm a Christian school kid, I'll just do whatever God wants. God, I'll do whatever you want through whoever you want. in person, God wants to use so many of you. He wants to use all of you. And I tease with Tim, and I hope I wasn't offensive, and I tease with Gilbert here. But you know the fact is, God knows Tim and Gilbert from the inside out, and He sees their future. And He says, Gilbert, I'm trying to get you to that back door over there because that's my purpose for your life. And that back door might be a mission field, might be a pastor, but that's where I'm trying to get you. And I want to tell you something. Watch me now. As long as you're trying to make negotiations with God, you're never going to make it. Come here, fellas. Stand up here, Tim. Stand on the line. I want you to go to my vineyard. Is that okay? I want you to go to my vineyard. Is that okay?
Yes.
I want you to go to my vineyard. Is that okay? I want you to go to my vineyard. Is that okay? I want you to go to my vineyard. Oh, you want something? Oh, you want to hold on to that piece of clothing that I already told your parents that you need to get rid of? Oh. You wanna make a negotiation? You wanna go to church but still during the week you wanna listen to your music? You wanna be in a Christian school and be a Christian school kid, but you wanna use the wrong kind of language when staff and faculty's not around? Okay, here. Just come over here. You can sit down. Sad thing is there's a bunch of young people that are going to be sitters the rest of their life. Then there'll be some that says, God, I want whatever you want for my life, and I'll do whatever you want. Young people, my heart breaks for those young people that messed up.
Send them to a Christian school, you preach to them, you love them. And then 1 month before it's time to go to college, they decide that they want to be together. I wanted them to come back so bad. I had people in our church. I had people come to me, Pastor, don't let them. Don't let him back. Don't let him back. I ran to him as soon as they called. I was on the way back from another meeting. They called me and said, Pastor, we need to talk to you. I said, we're sorry for what we've done. It's after they've been gone for 2 months. I said, listen, I want to see you face to face. I don't want to talk to you on the phone. So I went and met with him. I met with Mike Culver. Culver's the best place to meet with anybody. I met with him. I said, listen, I said, you need to come back to the church. I said, you need to apologize to the church for what you've done. I said, you need to go forward with your life. Young people, I can't get across to you that this was not our worst, young people. I've got some duds in our youth group. I'm talking about kids that were doing right and living for God, and for 6 months I didn't know that they were communicating by cell phone. Had no idea they were meeting each other. He was going to work, she worked to see her, and things of that sort. Communication that should have not gone unchaperoned. Well, that was going on for 6 months. We had no idea. So the time came. I'm in the Ukraine on a missionary trip this last August or July, and I'm staying up all night in the Ukraine because the time zones are different. Talking to these two on the phone, asking them to promise me to wait till I get back so nothing crazy happens. She said, Pastor, I promise you I won't do anything till you get back. The day before I got back from the Ukraine, he gets in a taxi, picks her up, and runs away. They can come back to the Heritage Baptist Church. I can put them on a bus route. They can do a lot of things. Because you know why? They were the Christian school kid that was invested in. They have the Bible down pat. They have their stories down pat. I still want to use them. I don't care what anybody else says. You don't kick people while they're down. You help them get up. And I'm going to tell you something in here. That story might be you one of these days, and if you mess up, I'm going to tell you something. There's a God in heaven that still wants to use you. He doesn't want you to stay out in the world. He wants you to get out of the pig pen and come back to Him. But can I tell you really what happened with those two? They weren't happy with God's choice for them. You know what their parents told them and their pastor told them? Would you both go to college for that first year and just let the Lord work in your life before you get married? That's all we asked. They thought a year was too long. Now, young people, I'm going to tell you, they decided to choose, and I hate to say this, but they'll pay for that choice the rest of their life.
Right.
I will love them the rest of their life. They can be used of God the rest of their life, but they will pay for that one decision the rest of their life. You know why? Because they made the choice. Hey, you're sitting here today, and you better decide. You're either going to let God have you or not. But I want to tell you what that choice means. That choice means you're going to follow the authorities in your life. I want you to say that statement with me. God always gives the best to those who leave the choice with Him. Can you say that with me? God always gives the best to those who leave the choice with Him. Try it one more time. Ready? God always gives the best to those who leave the choice with Him. This morning you ought to say, God, whatever you want is what I want. Whatever you want. Would you bow your head and close your eyes this morning? In person, we're far above time. We're not in a hurry this morning. Would you talk to God this morning? Would you talk? I know you're tired. Would you talk to God this morning? Some of you really ought to tell your pastor, hey, listen, I'm going to leave the choice to God, and I want to do whatever you think is best for my life. Oh, for the young person that says to their parent, to their pastor, I want to do whatever you think is best for my life. Would you think for just a moment? You're so precious to God. You've been invested in, but God still gave you a free will. Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask you to bless these young people. This might be the last day that I ever see them. God, please. God, keep them safe. Keep them right. God, help them to yield themselves to you. God, help them to surrender to the authorities in their life. God, help them to realize the happy choice is always letting you choose. God, thank you that you know what's best for our life. Father, please use the invitation. Help us to do business with you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Pianist is playing. You ought to come use the altar this morning. Spend some time with the Lord. You ought to come. Say, God, I want you to choose for me. God, I want you to have it all. Come as close as you can. Can't get any farther. Just kneel where you're at. Hey, listen, it's important to kneel before God. Just talk to God this morning. You can't get out of your aisle. Just use your pew as your altar. God, I want you to make the choice in my life. I've been calling the shots. God, I want you to be in control. And I know that you'll use people to show me what your choice is for my life. Pastor, parent, teacher, youth pastor. God, have all of me. I surrender all. You can have my clothing. You can have my music. You can have my friends. God, I know that your choice is better than mine. God always gives the best to those who leave the choice with Him. Always. Always.
Time, folks. Take your time. some of you need to get a chance to go up to your youth pastor, go up to your pastor who's here. Say, you've been warning me. You've been telling me all along. I've been heeding the warnings. I've made some dumb choices. I didn't know what he's going to preach this morning. I did not. We didn't talk about it. I gave you all a statement that I've used in my life so many times. Life is not determined by what we want, but by the choices we make. If you don't allow God to choose for you, your life, I don't know about you, but I saw a pastor down here who's brokenhearted. I know there's some people praying for you. Some of our young people. There's only so many warnings you're going to be given before God's hand says, backs off. Somebody get today to a parent, to a youth pastor, to an administrator, somebody that's an authority in your life. Say, hold me accountable. Please, hold me accountable. You need somebody. It's not going to just take some other young person. That may work for a little bit. You need to find somebody who's in authority to help you out. Brother Hanks, thank you very much for the message.